Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Go to 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm sure most of you know the story of Naaman the leper. Verse 5 through 8. "And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment of clothes," suits would have you. "And he brought the letter unto the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have sent therewith Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes," or tore his clothes, "and said, Am I God to kill and make alive? That this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy, his dread disease. Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he," the king, "now the king, seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent unto the king, saying, Wherefore, or why, hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Heavenly Father, please give us understanding. Please touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. But one thing that's important is not the miracle per se, but it's the heart toward God. And if there's a miracle performed, it's not, "Hey, well, let's go to that church down the road. They got miracles." Okay, great. Do they preach Christ? Do they have love? Will they make you a disciple? Or will they only produce more miracles to get more people in church to fill up that bucket right there? But we need the power of God in our churches. A couple of years ago, I was living in West Monroe, Louisiana, where Duck Dynasty's from. And for a while I attended a little church. It was an offshoot of Methodist. It was a Wesleyan denomination. I didn't really know that that existed, but I found it and I went, what have you. And they are not Pentecostal, but they believe in healing. It's in their bylaws, what have you. You go to the national website, it says that God heals the sick today. One of the deacons, he had cancer. He was an old man. He had cancer, and they prayed or whatever, and six months later, he was healed. And again, these people, when they go to church, they sit in their hands, and they don't get emotional, what have you, but they believe God for healing, and every once in a while, God heals them. Every once in a while, and I'm thankful for that. There are some churches that say, "Well, we don't believe God heals today." Okay, I guess. It's part of the gospel. Healing is part of the gospel. We'll get to that in a minute. But there are so many sick and hurting and addicted people today. I remember when I got saved, within 5 minutes I knew that I was free of dope. I knew that I had nothing left to go back to look for in the bar. God changed my life completely. And I'm very thankful for that. But it's part of the gospel. Paul in Acts chapter 28, if you remember the story that he was trying to gather up sticks and put on the fire, and there was some kind of little snake in the sticks, and when he kind of chunked it toward the fire. The snake said, whoa. And he grabbed onto something. It was Paul's hand, and he, you know, it was a snake. And they're like, Paul's going to die. And then Paul didn't die. And he just kind of shook that off in the fire. And they waited around half an hour and whatever. And he ain't looking green yet. He hadn't fainted. Wow. Wow. And then if you read in that chapter, there was a guy named Publius and his father. Paul went to pray for him and he got healed. And some other folks came when they saw the power of God and recognized, hey, Paul's a messenger from God. They went and said, Paul, can you pray for me too? And some folks got healed. And it made an opening for the gospel. They were receptive when they saw the obvious hand of God. Again, their hearts were touched. That's what this is about, the heart. He said, I would rather mercy and not sacrifice. Many places in Scripture you'll find that idea. Hosea 6, verse 6, for when I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But here in 2 Kings, I taught a lot in that. I was an associate pastor for a while at a little church in Louisiana, and I started going through 2 Kings, and as far as I got before I left, that was as far as I got. I guess you guys know I'm on the radio. I've got a radio program down in New Orleans. Had it for about 10.5 years. Everything I preach, this little computer does more than just make me look silly up at the pulpit. I record everything that I preach, and I'm a programmer and what have you, and I produce my own shows. I edit my own, just like the pastor does. And I put things on the website just like the pastor does. And if you get tired of his, listening to his, maybe you can listen to mine. Maybe. But in chapter 2 of 2 Kings, won't go through it all, maybe you don't have to turn there, but it says that 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and they stood afar off and watched. And Elijah, the first prophet, he took his mantle, his shawl or whatever it was, and kind of twisted it together. And he went up to the river and he smote, it says, the waters. And you remember the story of when they came out of the land of Egypt, they were up against the Red Sea and Moses, at God's command, held out a stick or whatever the case, and the Red Sea parted and they walked across dry land, right? And after they were through, the Egyptians came with their chariots and the waters came back and they all drowned, right? Well, that miracle was re-performed here. And it's several times you can read about at Gilgal, when the priest stepped in, the waters stood up. But Elijah had to get across, and he said, okay, and he took his, I guess it's a prayer shawl or whatever, which symbolizes the Holy Spirit resting upon a preacher's life or a Christian's life, because it's for everybody. And they walked across on dry land. And then, and we all know this story, that the chariots of Israel came. It says the chariot of fire and horses of fire and came from heaven and kind of bumped them, whatever, and separated. And Elijah got up in there and he went to heaven. We know the story. But that prayer shawl, that mantle, whatever it was, as he was going up to heaven, it kind of fell back to earth. There's an awful lot of theology in that right there. It's a symbol. It's a prophecy of the day of Pentecost. Elijah, the first prophet, is a symbol or foreshadowing or type, we say, of Christ when he came the first time. Elisha, the second prophet, symbolizes the church. We know that Jesus went back up to heaven, but he said, wait for the promise of the Father. And on the day of Pentecost, that mantle fell back to earth. The power of God fell back to earth, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, There's a lot of theology here, and I absolutely love teaching this kind of stuff. I could spend all week on these passages right here. But Elisha, the second prophet, he picked up that mantle, prayer shawl, and he kind of twisted it together and went back to the river to get back on the other side and says, "Where's the God of Elijah?" And he smote it, and what do you know? The miracle happened again. The waters stood up, and he walked across on dry land. We know that Elijah did 7 miracles. We know that Elisha did 14. And in this prayer, and I didn't go over it, he said, "Let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And Elijah said, "If you see me when I'm going up, you'll get it. If you don't see me, then you won't." Well, we know that it happened. The mantle fell down and what have you. And this second miracle was performed. Again, it's a symbol. We know that Jesus, when he was baptized, the Spirit of God, like a dove, it said, came and fell upon him and rested upon him. And through the power of God, everybody that came, can you please heal me, Jesus? And he would say, "Sure." And they would, "Hey, look at me. I'm walking and leaping, right?" Everybody that came to Christ, they were healed. Everybody. On the day of Pentecost, you can read it in the book of Acts, everywhere that they went, they healed the sick. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That was his command. He was praying for the sick. He was healing the sick. He was doing all of these things, preaching the gospel. He took his 12 disciples and he commissioned them, just like we're commissioned, the great commission, Matthew chapter 28. He commissioned them, go and preach, you know what to say, and he gave them power, dunamis, and authority, exousia, to do the same thing. We don't come in our name. We don't preach ourselves, Paul said. We preach Jesus Christ. Sometimes God answers our prayers and heals the sick, but it's not us doing it. It's Christ doing it. The principle of that we are Christ's ambassadors. We don't come in our own name. We come in His name. And we've got the same authority and the same power. Next chapter, Luke chapter 10, there were 70 other also that the Lord appointed and sent them 2 by 2, verse 1 here, before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. That's a double meaning there. So it's not just the 12 apostles, it's these other guys, 70 other also. Numbers. Boy, doesn't that ring a bell? Book of Numbers. Same thing happened. That there were 70 that were filled. Is it number 10 or 11? I forget. Again, this is God. Come in the flesh. Did all the stuff he did. But he gave us the authority to act in his name. Again, it's not about, look at me, I can heal the sick. But it's, hey, look at Jesus. Well, he can heal the sick. He can deliver you from drugs. He can take care of any problem that you've got in your life. And oh, by the way, your sins can be forgiven. But he appointed these other 70 also and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And I understand that Jesus ministered for 3.5 years. He probably made every one of those places along the way those guys went before. But how many of you know that Jesus is coming back? How many of you know we have to preach the gospel to every creature before he comes back? We have to, as much as possible, fulfill the Great Commission before he comes back. That's why people go to all sorts of places that you don't want to go. You live in the city, back in Nigeria? You know about the missionaries that would go from America, go in the bush, maybe lose their lives trying to tell your countrymen about Jesus Christ. I've done a little bit missionary work. That man knows missionaries go to his country. We've got a nice job, got a nice truck, I guess. Got nice stuff, got air conditioning, running water. Missionaries leave all of that, sell everything they have and go to where there is no water. Unless you want to run, go get it. Air conditioner? You never heard of that. So it's not just me making this up and telling what I've heard. He knows about it. Jesus is coming back. And we need to be about the Father's business. Again, we have His anointing. We have His power. We have the authority to preach and occasionally heal the sick. But it's not about the miracles. It's about preaching the gospel. And occasionally miracles are performed. But we must be about the Father's business. Acts chapter 3, you know this story. Now when Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, and every day he said, alms, alms for the poor, whatever they said back then, that's what they say in the movies, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple said, hey, come on, give me some money. But in verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Not in the name of the Southern Baptist Convention, not in the name of the Assemblies of God, not in the name of the Catholic Church, anyone you can name. We don't preach ourselves. We shouldn't get hung up on our denomination. We preach Christ. We tell about Him. I don't have a Bible with me in my hand, but if I did, I'm reading from my notes, but if I did, I'd hold it up and say, we preach the one that's in this book, right? We don't preach us. Don't preach our bylaws. We preach the one that liveth and was dead, and behold, is alive forevermore. That needs to be our message. But it says that they took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked into the temple. He went to church with him. See, when I got saved, the first thing I wanted to do was started reading the Bible, and I said, I need to start finding a church to go to. Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Peter and John had this power. Why don't we have this power? But there's other things to look at. Jesus told about the story of the guy who had company that came late. He didn't have anything. And so he went and found this other guy, beat on his door and beat on his door and says, go away. I'm in bed. Leave me alone. Go away. But he kept beating and beating and beating. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. And it says that he got up and gave him everything that he asked for. That's a picture. We're here on earth. We have to preach the gospel. And again, it's about the heart. I want to say that again. It's about reaching the heart. Occasionally we pray for the sick. Occasionally we'd have you. But we don't have that power. We don't have the power to mentally get into the person's mind and convince them to be a Christian. There are some denominations that do. That's how cults flourish. They touch the mind, or maybe the emotions. It's God that reaches in the heart. John chapter 3, verse 8, I think it talks about the Spirit. You don't know where the wind goes, you don't know where it came from, but you feel its effects. The Spirit of God has to touch the heart. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. We have to pray and say, oh God, help us. Oh God, please help me to, I'm going to preach a sermon. God, I've got to have something to say. Forget what they taught me in seminary. I've got to have a word from God. And then you get it, and you say, oh God, you have to touch me somehow. Help me to preach so that the hearts are touched. Does it every week. He understands. Somebody's sick in church. Or better yet, somebody's sick out there at Walmart. Oh God, please do something. We don't have the wherewithal in ourselves. Jesus gave, in Luke chapter 9 and chapter 10, gave them power and authority to preach Him. But it's His power, it's His authority. When the ambassador goes to China or wherever in the world, the ambassador doesn't go up to the king or the prime minister or whatever the case and says, in my name, thus and so. He says, no, I'm here representing the United States. Ambassadors. We represent Christ. Sometimes I got to call home and get instructions. Sometimes I got to call home and get an airstrike, right? But they got to call home. They got to get their marching orders from back home. We need to get our marching orders from back home. You understand? But sometimes you got to say, friend, lend me three loaves. You got to beat on the door of heaven until God answers. There's the widow and the unjust judge. Remember, you remember the story. Jesus told it. There was a widow that went to the judge, and judge didn't care. He just an old sinner. He didn't care. You know, lived for himself. And this woman came, you know, avenge me of my adversary, and came and came. And he's like, oh, tired. Okay, I'll do it. Just leave me alone, right? He was an unjust judge. He didn't live for God. Jesus said, if the unjust judge can be aggravated enough to do it, if you aggravate heaven, well, God loves you to begin with. He's the righteous one, the just one, and not this unjust judge. God will do so and even more. We have to beat on heaven. We have to ask, oh, can you please give it? You have to knock, which is a stronger thing, right? Ask, seek, and knock. Ask whatever. Got it backwards. But it's a progressive thing. Sometimes you got to knock and beat on that door and beat on that door for years. You see this hand? I hurt this hand. I used to live in Atlanta in the early 90s, and I was working in a warehouse. And my job was to take stuff off the shelf and put it in the bucket. And I did 100 of those a day. And I was just, you're running through the thing because, like, you're on the clock and whatever. And I reached down and I grabbed a 40-pound box, and it made it in, but something went sip, snap. Tendon, I have no idea. I felt it. They couldn't find it, and they didn't do an MRI. I just said, look, I'm just going to go home and don't worry about it. You know, after being on comp or whatever, I'm tired. I don't want this. For 18 years, the most I could hold sometimes was a bottle of water. Back then I drank Coke, so I couldn't hold a 12-ounce Coke. It was heavy. I couldn't. On a good day, I could take a gallon of water and carry it from the truck into the house. But I couldn't do any more. For 18 years. 18 years. And then one day I realized it don't hurt no more. And I was afraid, because I was an associate pastor in Denham Springs, right by Baton Rouge, and I was ashamed. I was afraid. I can testify, look, God healed me. In the next week, I'd come back, oh, I'm in my little brace again. I was afraid. Finally, God had to say, look, I healed you. Accept it. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful, because after that, anything you wanted me to pick up, I can pick up. I wasn't just relying upon my left hand and my arm. My wrist was bad. I could pick things up and kind of cradle it in my arm, but it didn't matter anymore. I could pick up what you want. 18 years it took, but God finally healed me, and I'm thankful for it. Friend, lend me three loaves. The power is there. The authority to act in His name is there. But we cannot forget, we have to trust Him. We have to look to Him. We have to beg Him. Because it's not our kingdom we're building, it's His. Just as the preacher begs God to touch the heart, we too need to beg God for more of the Lord. We struggle sometimes with problems. We pray and go for years and it don't get healed. There needs to be a hunger in your heart. It should draw you closer. Maybe it'll separate the men from the boys. Jesus told of the sower who went out to sow, and some fell here and some fell there and some fell there, whatever. And when things got bad, when the weeds sprang up or whatever, the stony ground or whatever the case, some of those Christians, people that heard the gospel and got saved, they fell away. But if you want to stay with God, that was the good soil and it brought forth fruit. Adversity, problems, persecution, it should make you draw closer to God and want more of Him. That's what adversity is for, is to bring you closer to God. If everything was a bed of roses, you would never grow. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Luke chapter 6 verse 21. Blessed are they that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. It's hard sometimes. Life's hard. We've got God. We can go to God. We can pray and ask God. We can come to the church and we fellowship with brothers, and maybe somebody's got encouragement or whatever the case, or knows a Bible verse and picks you right up. I remember what it was like before I knew God. I was alone. I was afraid. I wouldn't admit it, but I was alone and afraid, and I knew it was empty inside. But that changed, and I'm so happy. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they should be filled.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.